The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
I want to take the opportunity to look at another familiar passage that I'm trusting will call us again and again to our hope in the gospel, because you are here to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, but to be established in that hope that you have in Him for the rest of your life and for the death that will come, that has come to our brothers and others around us. Death will come. Where is our hope in life as well as in death? I want to look briefly at a passage in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 13 through 16. Hear now God's word for us, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." In true fashion of many of the epistles in the New Testament, Peter and Paul as well talk a lot in the beginning about our identity in Christ. The first portion of this chapter, if you look back on it, he is constantly hammering away, reminding the readers what Jesus has done for them, where their identity and hope is. Who are you, professing believer? I am one who has been born again by the living word. I have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I think that's a great paradigm for you and I to understand the Christian life. You're here studying away and looking deeply into the things of God. But I think Peter and Paul and all of us as good theologians, as good Christians would say, wait, let us not move ahead of our foundation. Who are we? Who am I first and foremost before I kind of engage and act out this Christian life? I am someone who has been redeemed by Christ. And I would suggest that I think the authors spend very intense and directed time saying we are not going to move ahead with telling you how to live the Christian life if you don't continually understand where your hope and foundation is. It's in Christ. You are a new creature in Jesus. So let your life reflect that, not your own self-righteous efforts to get it together. But that's something we are always susceptible to, is it not? To do our tasks, to have our functional identity going on, and we find more identity in what we are doing rather than what has been done for us. And we must go back to our first love. And that's why I think Peter emphasizes that a lot in the first 12 verses. But in true fashion, he calls us to application. And I just want to highlight a few things here that I think are pertinent to our season of life that we are in now as well. Because of this great work of the gospel in your life, in my life, who profess Jesus Christ as our Savior who has redeemed us, he says, therefore, because of that, prepare your minds for action. Very simple things that he lays out here, but I think are very critical to the Christian life. Prepare your mind for action. The King James says, gird up the loins of your mind. Wow, that hurts. How do you do that? What does that mean? It's the idea of really pulling together, being focused, being really intensely committed to what you are about to do, to understand that. What does it mean to pull things together, to pull up those trappings, to have nothing hinder you from what you are about to do? You have to prepare for that. That involves things like reading the Word of God, thinking about the gospel of Christ, reflecting on what it means to know Him, to be holy, spending time before you jump out the door and start doing wonderful things for God. What does it mean to prepare your mind for action? Even in this seminary context, I would wager that some of us are not preparing our minds for action. We are filling our minds with information. But are we preparing biblically, girding up ourselves in such a way that we are preparing our minds for what God has for us? And I would suggest that this is indeed a lifelong process. When is the best time to prepare your mind for action? Well, it's not only when you have crises. I've got a problem in my life. I've got an exam due. I've got a paper due. I've got things to do. I'm dying. That's not the time to prepare yourself for action. It is today. It is now when you have the privilege of thinking about the things of Almighty God and letting your heart be worked over by God's Spirit with those pertinent things that will affect your life. What does it mean to have the mind of Christ? Philippians 2, Paul says, let this mindset be the same that is in you, that it was in Christ Jesus. We could talk a lot about that, but I think one of the most powerful pictures of that for me is in the Gospel of John when Christ was ministering to the woman at the well. The disciples went off into town to get food, remember? You can almost imagine these guys wanting to serve this great teacher and Messiah that they had discovered. They come back with their food, and they said, Jesus, we've got the food. I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but they said, we've got your food. And he said, I have other food. You can almost imagine the disciples saying, wait a minute. We just sweated and went into town and found some food for you. You've got food. We appreciate you, but what's going on here? And Jesus very powerfully says, this is my food. This is what nourishes my soul, to do the will of my Father. I love to think about my Father. I love to understand the ways of my Father. I love to do the will of my Father. I'll take that over any earthly food any day. What is the mindset of a Christian who is preparing their minds for action? It's got to be a deep, penetrating work that you're not just getting ready for the tsunami coming at you. You are ready for life because you understand who you are and who you are in Christ. But then he goes on. Yes, prepare your minds for action by being sober-minded. That's a great phrase. Being sober-minded, having a realistic view of life. This world is not our home. It is always going to disappoint you. The best things in life are going to crumble. Do you understand that this world is penetrated and affected by sin? Do you know that you are, in every dimension of your life, affected by sin? Be realistic. Be sober-minded. To be sober is not to be drunk, not to be intoxicated with other things. Have you ever seen someone who is drunk? I grew up not in a Christian home and didn't come to faith till later in life, but even in my high school years, I didn't drink, not because I was a good little boy, but because of what I saw do to my father. My father wasn't a fall-down drunk all the time, but he liked his beer. And I still can graphically remember, as a teenager, being in my home and watching my father and having some of my friends there and watching my father drunk, not able to control himself, making a fool of himself, and watching my friends laugh at my father and thinking, I'll never drink. I'll never touch that stuff. Not because I'm a religious guy, because that makes me mad. That stuff can make you look like a fool. What does it mean for you as a Christian to be sober? To be not controlled by anything except the Spirit and the call of the gospel in your life? We must be sober-minded. Why? Peter says later on in chapter 5, very familiar verse, verse 8 of chapter 5, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Why must you be preparing your mind and be sober-minded? Because the evil one wants to make a mockery of the gospel, wants to chew you up and spit you out. This is a world of war that we are engaging in. Are we preparing ourselves for that? As a footnote to my father, he came to faith later in life. He died about 15 years ago, but we'll talk about that some other time. Great story of what the Lord did in his life. But finally, Peter is saying, set your hope fully on the grace to be revealed in Jesus Christ. Set your hope fully. Even that phrase is something that's worth unpacking some other time. Set your hope fully. That means your life, both now and forevermore, is in the work, the finished work of Christ that will be revealed. Have you ever seen someone who reflects these qualities? Have you ever been around someone, not in some obligatory way again, but because of a natural work of the Spirit, always seem to have a good mind for the things of the Lord, always seem to be realistic about what's going on around them, always seem to want to talk about Jesus, to want to have their hope in him? Obviously, our hearts and minds are going to Brother Al Groves. Those of us who've been around him, that guy was preparing for life every day of his life. That guy was aware of life every day of his life. That guy was prepared even to die. It wasn't a total surprise to Al Groves. It was an instrument that he used for the glory of God. He could face death with a heart that was prepared, an understanding of life that could only come from the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't panic. He just praised God and lived to the end. My father-in-law also died almost a year ago from cancer. You probably never heard of the man, Tom Brown. Very simple guy, blue-collar worker. All he did was work hard to raise his children and take care of his family, and went to church every Sunday, had a simple faith in Christ. And I still remember being by his bedside at his death when he said to me, Jerry, all I want to do, I just want to go home. I just want to be with the Lord. I'm ready. He wasn't panicked like, why did this happen to me? And would you just pray that I get healed? He just said, I'm ready. The Lord's ready to take me. I'm ready to go home. Where does that come from? It doesn't come from 5 minutes from now facing life. It comes from every day having a mindset that believes the gospel, that is sober, that is aware of what's happening, and has a hope fully established in Christ Jesus. Oh, let's be that kind of people today. Let's honor our Savior, and let's live with that great cloud of witnesses, even now, that we attest to as well. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you. Thank you for the witnesses of our faith that have gone on before us, that even now remind us of what it is to put our hope in Christ. We do praise you for our brother Al Groves, for his life, his ministry, not just in his death, but throughout his life, how he has taught us again and again what it means to be prepared for a life as well as death. We pray that you would continue to have mercy on their family and use this season of life to not only minister to them, but through them. And for us who remain here, even today, would you make us people who are preparing our minds for action, who are sober-minded, who have put our hope fully in the grace of Jesus Christ. Do that work even today, we pray in his name. Amen.